Boss Man Show. Got a friend of the show with me, Kyle Keller, the coach Stephen F. Austin, the Lumberjacks out of Southland Conference, who you know beat Duke, rivals here at ACC. So we got my man on the show with me, Coach Keller. How are things down there in Texas, man?
What's up, Boss Man? Man, it's a beautiful day outside here in Nacogdoches, Texas. About 72 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. Beautiful January day for sure.
Well, January's a good month for you, Coach, because it's your birthday month. So happy early birthday to you. What are your plans?
Thank you so much.
What are your plans, man? Other than coaching your art.
Yeah, well, you know, we just got the practice court a little bit ago, and thankfully we don't play this year on my birthday. But I'm thinking if we win the day before, I might give them the day off so I can finally have a birthday for once, which is the middle of this month in January. So I won't have to travel. It seems like we've been playing, or I've been on the road on my birthday here the last few years. But it's been a good time for us for sure around here. We've had a lot of fun this year.
Yes, indeed, Coach. And like I said, you're in year four leading Lumberjacks. So what do you say, Coach, has been your greatest accomplishment since leading this program since 2016, since we started having you on the show here?
Oh, some of the greatest accomplishments?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Going to the NCAA tournament, obviously, is on the basketball court, has been the best. I mean, you know, trying to impact kids' lives and them growing and graduation and fulfilling their dreams. We got kids playing all over the, you know, playing professionally overseas and playing in the G League now, and them, you know, fulfilling some of their dreams that they have. That's a tremendous accomplishment, you know, for me personally. And we've had, you know, great success, you know, off the court. I mean, on the court, I mean, that's we've won some great games here, and this team here this year has been wonderful. We've been really consistent this year, and I'm excited. You know, we have 16 league games left. We've been fortunate enough to win our first four, and they really try really hard in practice. So, you know, we won some great Power 5 games since I've been here. We've beaten, you know, LSU and Baylor, and we beat Duke this year, and gave Texas Tech a run for their money a year and a half ago in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, hopefully if we do what we're supposed to do, then maybe we can have another run at some team in the NCAA tournament again.
Exactly, Coach. I know you had a tough year last year, not the way you wanted it to go. So as offseason came this year, what did you guys prioritize as a staff and as a team for development of the players, getting them stronger with the strength coach about, hey, we need to bounce back in 19 and 20 and be better than we were this year for sure?
You know, Boss Man, last year was an aberration, so to speak. You know, our one of our best players, who's now the starting center at Texas Tech, missed the whole season and graduated, and we lost about 130 games last year to injury or suspension, and didn't have a point guard, and didn't have both our point guards were hurt, and we really had about seven scholarship players last year. So it was a really, really learning experience for all of us. And, you know, we overhauled the roster, so to speak, and wanted kids that were excited about playing at Stephen F. Austin, understood the expectations of playing at Stephen F. Austin. And I think we got some kids that have great character and understand those expectations, the high expectations of playing here. And I thought this team would be really good. I didn't expect this to be as good early as what we had. We took them to Spain this summer and really bonded, and I think that really exceeded our development. To have some of the success that we had early. And it's just been a fun ride. We have great senior leadership. A kid, Kevon Harris from Atlanta, has been, you know, really allowed us to coach him this year. And it's just been fun. You know, the kids, the great senior leadership, him and John Como and Nate Bain, who made the game-winning layup at Duke, you know, a great story, who's had some tragedy with the Bahamas and raised – he's a story in of itself, really raised $150,000 plus for the Bahamian people down there. And it's just been really almost a magical year, really. We've been just a few points short from being undefeated so far.
You can't read my mind because I want to talk to you about Kevon, because Coach Kevon is actually from where I spent a lot of time in. I spent a lot of time in Ellenwood, Georgia. That's where my girlfriend lives at. So he's right down the street from where my girlfriend lives. So I know about him pretty well. So talk a little bit about more about Kevon, what he's meant to your program as a leadership, as being a senior now and helping you guys get to be where you are right now, what you want him to do for your kid through January and through March here.
You know, the greatest thing about Kevon and he's accepted challenges. He allows us to coach him. You know, he's had some milestones this year so far. He's reached the 1,500-point milestone. He's only a few hundred points from potentially being the all-time leading scorer at a, you know, a place that's won the league 24 times in the history of basketball at this school. So he's with some great players here at Stephen F. Austin. And you know, he's going to be in the top five for sure when he leaves here. And you know, he's just a tough kid, and you know, being from Ellenwood, you know, he's got great toughness about him, wants to be coached, wants to get better, he's improved his game, he's not shot the ball great this year, so he's had, like he has in the past, starting to get that jump shot back, so he's learned to score different ways, and you know, it's just a junkyard dog being from where he is, and I think the thing I'm the most proud of, really, is what kind of leader he's turned out to be this year and being really selfless. And I told him before the season started, because he wants to be a pro and wants to play at the highest level. And I told him before the season started, I said, you don't have to score more points for you to get a chance. People know you can score, but you have to win more. And he sacrificed part of his game to continue to win big. He had 20 points in the first half against Duke, when our guys were a little bit nervous, and was the best player on the floor, I thought, for sure, in the first half, and they couldn't guard him. And allowed our guys to be calm and be, get some confidence, which allowed us to win the game. And, you know, I'm so glad he's on our team, and I'm glad he stuck through a lot of different things. He's been a lot of fun to be around every day.
You got another young man from Powder Springs, a little bit on the north side of Atlanta, in Demir Brown. What's he bring to the table for you guys, Coach?
You know, Demir, we had really high expectations for Demir. He's had a unique a foot injury, which hadn't allowed him to get on the court. He's a highly recruited player coming out of Kilgore Junior College. And he got his foot jammed in September. He had a great summer. And then he got his foot jammed, and we ended up finding an extra bone in his foot. And he rehabbed real hard, and he could never get through it. And now he's just coming off of surgery from it. And so I don't know if we're going to be able to play him or not. We've gotten so deep into the season, he's trying to rehab himself back into play. He's an undersized four-man that can really score and shoot, does a lot of different things. To be honest with you, we need him because he does things we don't really have. He can score inside and outside and has a great game to him, and he's fun to be around. And he's probably the one guy on our team that you know, is from a perimeter standpoint on the front court that we don't have, and I hate that we don't have him. We just kind of pieced it together up there at his spot, but I look forward to getting him back. I promise you that. Kids from, you know, he tells me all the time that guys from Powder Springs are really the toughest guys in Georgia. I don't know if that's true or not, but he likes to claim that.
I think he's lying to you, Coach. He stretched a little bit. He stretched a little bit.
I told him you said that, boss man. I told him you said that.
Yeah. He stretched that a little bit. I don't think so, Demir. Nice try, though. Nice try. The coach, let me ask you this. Now, I can see, you know, you got two guys from around the city on your team. So what does it mean for you to recruit the Atlanta area? I know you come here for the Lake Point, the Peace Jam. So what does it mean to recruit the Atlanta area and find great diamond roads like Kevon and Demir to play for you and fit into your system and into your culture, Stephen F. Austin there?
Yeah, you know, we've had others, you know, on our team since I've been here from Atlanta. And there's just so many great players in that area. And I, you know, that to me is one of the two or three best places in the country for basketball talent. And you know, and I think our profession is just now really, I mean, there's always been great players, but, you know, what they're doing now in the state, the high school coaches and putting the product out there as the rules have changed. They had a great event last summer in June where everybody got to see them all and really took advantage of the rules. And I think now it's going to be even more recruited because of it. It's going to make it harder for guys like me that have been going in there for a few years and have some contacts in there, because it's going to be recruited so well. I think the high school coaches in that area do a great job of getting their kids seen, and they do a great job of teaching the game. And, you know, I love going in there because most of those kids are really tough. You know, they know the game, and the AAU coaches in there do a great job of continuing that on and helping their kids become the best basketball players they can possibly be. I mean, I wish I had a whole lot full of them, to be honest with you.
And, Coach, I feel like you winning at Duke is going to help you in this area, because a lot of guys recognize, I said you've been on the show, people, oh, they beat Duke. So just that alone, I feel like it helps visibility-wise, you in the market, plus have you on the show, of course, with our listeners, with our listener base here, our reach here. So I feel like, Coach, just on about your winning at Duke already has made an impact on guys in the area. I said you've been on the show, guys responding like, we didn't even know who he is. You know, which is great.
Hey, boss, man, I don't care if we want at Duke or not. Just being on your show gives me a chance to recruit Atlanta. I know that for a fact. Just continuing to put me out there, you and your personality. But, yeah, I think winning, obviously, in Cameron Indoor that night and the visibility of that, and, you know, kids know that if they come here, they're going to play against high-level competition. We'll play anybody anywhere on TV, and that was a great night for our university. And really, I was really happy for our kids because they work really hard, and you know, it's being able to showcase who they are. And you know, I hope that the kids in that area would want to come to a place like Stephen F. Austin and be able to be a success. We're the winningest program in the state of Texas over the last decade. We're about to, next fall, we're going to finish up building a $26 million practice facility, which I think it'll be one of the top practice facilities in the country, and it'll be awesome. And I would hope kids would be excited about, you know, living in this place and expanding their game and making their game better, their life better, by being in a place like what we're about to finish. So it's a pretty cool place to go play basketball, go to school, that's for sure.
You got that right, Coach. I've told young men about you, for having you on the show. I've told guys, hey, that's a program you can win at and go to the tournament and get seen. I tell kids all the time, it's not about what school you go to. It's about the right coaching and are you putting the right stuff on film. If you're doing that, they'll find you. You know, you can go to the best name in the world, but if you don't play, they're never going to see you. You know, you're not in the right position to succeed. They ain't going to see you. So if you go to the right place with a great coach who's going to look out for you, you'll be okay. So I try to tell guys all the time, it's more to the schools than Kennesaw, Georgia State, Georgia Tech, Mercer, or Georgia. Though you can leave here and still have a good career and get all the things you want to accomplish and leave the state and do it. And I try to tell kids that all the time, Coach.
Yeah. There's some great programs in your area. For sure, but there's a lot of them, and they all can't stay at home, and we'd love to have one or two of them every year, there's no question. Yeah. So if they want to get out, we'll take them.
You got that right, Coach. And I'm going to ask you this. I talked to Coach McCarty at Evansville after he beat Kentucky. He told me in shoot around, he felt like his guys was going to do well that night. So night of the day of shoot around before you play Duke, how was the team's vibe? And did you kind of feel something special in the air when you, your guys, as you went in, they weren't afraid of the Duke or Cameron or seeing Coach K in person in the flesh? Well, did you feel like your guys had something special going that night?
I thought that was the worst shoot around we had all year long, to be honest with you, Boss Man.
Oh wow.
It was terrible. And we like I said to you earlier in the conversation, these kids have been so consistent all year long. But for whatever reason that day we were awful. And as a matter of fact, I stopped it about halfway through and I asked them, I said, guys, what is wrong with you? I said, these banners in here, they're not gonna beat us. I said, we got a lot of banners in our arena. I said, they don't beat anybody either. It's the players. I said, the players are the ones that are going to beat you, not the banners. And I said, you know, we got to go out and do our job, and their players got to go out and do their job. I said, so don't worry about where we're at, the venue. I said, it's about the players, so we got to compete against. So it got a little bit better after that, but it was not a great shoot-around. But I felt like we matched up pretty well with them. We forced Trey Jones into his career high of 8 turnovers that night with our pressure defense, and I thought that had a lot to do with the John Comar point guard did a great job that night. And you know, it's just a magical night for us. I mean, we played really well, and to be honest with you, we played them at the right time, Tuesday before Thanksgiving. They got a lot of new players, and they're away from home for the first time on Thanksgiving, and it just, you know, the ball just bounced our way at the end, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was a heck of a play to end the game. I watched it on my phone, because I was with the Hawks, but I was watching it on my phone, because I said, oh, an alert, let me check this out, you know, because the Hawks were going to win no game that night, and they didn't, of course, but I was making sure at least you guys got the win for sure, yeah. Coach. For sure.
I didn't feel very good that morning. My wife, I rolled over in bed, and I didn't sleep very much. My wife said, she woke up, she said, ooh, honey, she said, you're a 29-point underdog. And that didn't make me feel very good. I don't think I've ever in my career anywhere I've been a 29-point underdog. And about midway through the second half, she's sitting right behind the bench. And I said, and we came to the under 12 media timeout. I said, babe, I don't know if you ever gambled before, but I said, if you have, I think I got you covered. And as I was walking into the huddle. And so, you know, we like I said, Kevon played great the first half and gave our guys some confidence. And as the game wore on, the rest of our kids got confident in the game. And, you know, in sports, confidence has so much to do with how you play. And, you know, I think the biggest game, really it's going to sound crazy, but I thought really the biggest game we played was the game after we go to Jonesboro, Arkansas on the road and was able to not only win that game, but we won it convincingly. And that really – to me, said a lot about our kids, that they weren't satisfied just winning one game, that they want to make a statement about who they were. And, you know, we've lost two games this year. We lost our first road game at Rutgers, who's turned out to be a really good team. And I didn't think we played very good. And then we went to Alabama, you know, after we played Arkansas State, and we were on such an emotional high. I didn't feel like our feet were down on the ground yet. Everybody was still talking about Duke. I don't feel like – and Alabama played us great. And I give Nate a lot of credit. They played us perfectly that night. And, you know, we didn't play very good. And they had everything to do with that. But – and I give them all the credit in the world. I wish we could play them again, but we can't. And it is what it is. But and they played great. I give them a ton of credit. Well, and they beat us.
Yeah, I know Nate's trying to rebuild that thing in Alabama. I know that's always a tougher game on the road, SEC school or ACC stuff on the road, like you said. They're 18, 20-year-old kids. They're still on that emotional high. You know, you try to tamper it, but you know they're 18, 20-year-old kids. They're going to be like, yeah, we beat Duke. So, yeah.
Oh, man, we've had so much juice from that. And it was – but I felt like after that game, we're able to exhale a little bit, kind of get back to who we were, you know, after that game, like – because so many people have patted you on the back. I mean, we've been a grand marshal in our Christmas parade here in town. The Rockets have had us down to recognize. We have so much. It looks like a victory parade. Because, you know, it just doesn't happen. Like, you know, we're talking about beating a team like Duke here, Stephen F. Austin. And, I mean, just, you know, it was a great game, great upset. And, but getting our guys back normal, it was good for us. It was a good slap in the face for us.
Now, Coach,
it's been fun.
Now, Coach, I'm pretty sure the guys don't want to play you now next year. It's going to be hard to schedule games now, even harder, because they don't want to play you now.
Ask around. Ask the people you have on if they're willing to play, because we're having a hard time getting schedules, for sure.
Yeah, I would ask Josh Pass, and he'll tell me no. Rob Lanier maybe would do it. If it's
yeah.
Amir may do it. Yeah. Amir may want to play you, but he may not. He needs wins. So it's gonna be hard for the guys to see out of time, but I will definitely
won't play Amir. We're too close. I would never play Amir. We're too close of friends. I love Amir to death like a brother, so I want him to get some wins. And neither of us would be happy after that game.
Yes.
But he's an awesome guy. He's gonna get it turned around real fast. He's done a great job recruiting.
I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's here. You know, I told him this when I saw him when he played at Belmont in Nashville. I said, Amir, I'm glad you're here because you can turn this thing around. It's a diamond in the rough, Kennesaw State. I tell him all the time, you're a diamond in the rough. You know, you got everything
yeah,
you want.
For sure.
It's going to turn around. I know you and Amir are so close, but I'll let him know I had you on the show. He'll be like, oh, yeah, that's my guy, Kyle. Yeah, that's what he'll probably say to
yeah.
him when I tell him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. We worked together at A&M, and he was a key factor in us winning the SEC and going to Sweet 16, and he's just a great mentor and a great coach and recruiter. he'll do wonders at Kennesaw State. He'll get that program going big time.
That's what I got for you, Coach. You got A&M Corpus Christi coming up here. What you saying for those guys on film as you guys prepare for those guys coming to your place there tomorrow?
You know, Willis Wilson does a great job of coaching. He's probably, you know, one of the deans in our league, and he's a great teacher, someone that I've always admired in our profession. Has won so much at Rice and at Corpus Christi. A very good friend of mine. I don't ever look forward to playing him. They beat us last year a lot more than what the score indicated. I'm not very anxious about playing him. I hate guarding their motion. But it's the next one on our schedule, and we're anxious to play again for sure. So it'll be a hard matchup for us, but we're anxious to play again. So hopefully we'll give a good effort and just see what happens.
Well, Coach Keller, always good to catch up with you, man. I hope to see the Final Four. I hope that you hopefully you're in the Final Four. If you're not, I look forward to seeing you at the Final Four for sure here in April.
You got it, boss man. Anything for you. You're the best.
Thanks, Coach. Have a good one. Talk to you real soon. Happy birthday again to you.
Thank you, boss man. Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. That's Kyle Thanks Keller.
Grab me on
the Boss Man Show.
It's maybe the night that my dreams might let me know. All the stars are closer. All the stars are closer.
Tell me what you're going to do to me. Confrontation ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth to me.
Alexa, play Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Folks, back in the jar of the Boss Man Show. You know, I talked about this site a lot on the show, earlybirdrights.com by Jeff Siegel. Got the man himself on the line with me. Jeff, how's life, man?
It's great. I'm pretty happy we're coming up on the trade deadline. Lots of content for me at Early Bird Rights, where you can find all your salary cap stuff, anything you're interested in with the financial side of the NBA. That's where you can find it.
Jeff, Friday I saw the news that the Hawks may engage in some talks with Andre Drummond. It made me cringe because it makes me think that Trae Young's politicking behind the scenes is working to make them want to win a few more games and lose draft positioning to maybe get crushed by Milwaukee if you make it that far to the AFC. And when the season's pretty much been lost with John Collins and going out with HGH suspension or whatever it was he took. But the issue I have with this, Jeff, is this. No matter if John was on the team or not, it still wouldn't be a good year for the Hawks. They would win maybe a few more games. They still kind of been a seller for the most part. So the idea of a Drummond trade or giving up future capital for this is, it made me shake my head. So what are your thoughts about it?
I mean, I think the point of trading for a guy like Drummond is for the future. That's what you're looking for. You know, he's got an option this summer. He'll probably opt out. And then if the Hawks, you know, if the Hawks are trading for him now, then they're going to re-sign him. They feel confident they're going to re-sign him in the summer and, you know, get him on a long-term deal, 4 years, 5 years this summer, and then you sort of let him build next to Trae Young, next to John Collins, next to Kevin Herter, and that's sort of your four-man core going forward. And so I think that's more of what they're looking to do. But, you know, if you feel confident that Drummond is going to like Atlanta, he's going to be a free agent this summer, and they've got almost $80 million to spend this summer. So you can just, they could just do it then, but getting him in the building first, making sure that he's happy, he understands what's going on in Atlanta. It gives them an extra pitch to give him when he becomes a free agent this summer.
Got you. Now, the trade wise, I guess it would be, if you do, it would be a combination of Parsons and Evan Turner. Maybe is that how we so look at the salaries to make. Make you do Drummond, I guess you could do Chandler Parsons in a first. Do you want to give him a first round pick, attach that to get him? I don't know how would you think that trade would probably go down based on the numbers.
It'd have to be Parsons, I think, because he makes $25 million. That's really close to Drummond's $27 million. It's close enough to where Parsons is the one guy that you can send out as Atlanta to just make the salaries match, because that's something that you have to do with NBA trades. You got to make the salaries match. So, you know, Parsons out, Drummond in, but of course Detroit's not just going to give up Andre Drummond for Chandler Parsons, because Parsons is, you know, he can't even play anymore. So it's not like that value doesn't work for them. So they're going to want something, you know, especially if they're going to want to trade Andre Drummond. They're sort of looking at a future where they're not going to be all that good. They're going to try to rebuild. That's probably where that future first round pick comes in. Atlanta's got Brooklyn's pick this year. They've got the Oklahoma City pick in 2022. They've got some things that they can throw Detroit's way if they want to, but it is going to be, it's probably going to be a future first round pick in some fashion that goes to Detroit in this deal.
And I guess you could throw in Evan Turner and Sweetney to take on Snell's deal with the Hawks needing to get to the salary floor, the spending wise at least. Maybe Drummond and Snell for Turner and Parsons, and maybe Turner into a couple of seconds to avoid giving up a first, maybe.
Yeah, I mean they've got some second round picks that look, you know, that look decent. They've got their own in 2022. They don't have any second round picks in the next 2 years, and you would think, you know, obviously picks sooner are better than picks later, just, you know, the sort of a time value of money type of thing. The time value of draft picks is a similar concept there. You know, swapping out Evan Turner for a guy like Tony Snell, you know, that would help Detroit's books going forward, because he's got that $12.2 million player option for next year. If he opts out, maybe the Hawks can work something out with him. If not, then they can just have him on the books as sort of a backup wing, 3-and-D kind of wing that they can play along with, you know, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish. Those three guys could be their wing trio next year. Kevin Huerter as well, of course. So, you know, I think that would make some sense for them. That would make some sense for Detroit in terms of just getting money off the books going forward. Maybe that is a little bit of an incentive for Detroit to get that done. Maybe that lowers the price a little bit, because they're taking, you know, Atlanta would be taking $12 million off their hands. You know, maybe that would lower the price to 2 second round picks, or a more, you know, heavy protected first round pick, something like that, rather than just the lottery pick from Brooklyn. Maybe it's something, you know, a top 20 pick in 2022, something like that. You know, all of this stuff is negotiable between, you know, Travis Schlenk and Malik Rose and the Detroit front office. And then, of course, you know, we know that the ownership is involved in Tony Ressler and Tom Gores. We've already heard reports that the ownership is involved. And, you know, if ownership is involved, that means, I would imagine, that Trae Young has voiced his opinion. We got that report from Chris Haynes that Trae and Andre Drummond are very good friends and like each other. And that's sort of Trae's way of getting the word out that, like, yeah, I would really love to play with Andre Drummond. So there's a lot of different moving parts at play here.
Now, do you feel like Jabari Parker has played himself above the $6.5 million player option he has? I know it's not going to be much money out there this offseason for his cap space, but I think he's played himself above that to a mid-level guy now to get a full mid-level based on what he's done with the Hawks so far?
Well, see, that's interesting. I would have said yes probably a month ago, and then the last month has been a little bit wishy-washy. Now he's got this shoulder thing. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks, maybe more than that. So, you know, between that and, of course, he's got the extensive injury history before that with the knees, that might scare off some teams. That may scare him into just taking the $6.5 million for next year. We'll see when he comes back and how well he plays and how he sort of shows that he's back from this shoulder impingement issue that he's got right now. So, you know, I think he's sort of right on the borderline. I think the first month of the season, he was playing like a $10 million player easily. The fact that, you know, he was filling in for John Collins on the starting lineup. He was leading the league in dunks at one point, even though he was only playing, you know, 20, 24 minutes a game. That was ridiculous early on because he and Trae just had that synergy that was making the two of them work so well together. Parker's fallen off a little bit in recent weeks, and then the shoulder thing. So, you know, I think it's going to take the last couple months of the season for him to sort of make that decision whether he's going to pick up that $6.5 million or not.
And, Jeff, I read an article from Jeff Schultz of the Atlantic talking to Travis Schlenk, where Travis Schlenk said that he erred in instructing the roster that he doesn't give them a voice. But what is Vince Carter? He's always got in the league. That's not a voice to make them get in line. I didn't quite get that comment from Travis Schlenk at all when he said that to Jeff Schultz.
I mean, I think the thing with Vince – was that last year he was such a big part of the rotation and he was such a big part of the team and he was playing well. Like, he was hitting his shots. He was defending as well as can be expected for his age. You know, he was a big part of the team. He had the respect of the young guys coming in. Now it's sort of, I think he's taken a big step back this year. You know, it was bound to happen eventually. It happens to everybody, and it, you know, happens to him at this point in his career. The shot's not going down as much. The defense has kind of fallen off a cliff for him. He can't really stay in front of anybody anymore. So that's, it becomes more difficult for him to be the voice if he's not playing every night, if he's not playing consistent minutes, if he's not playing well. The fact that Trey has sort of taken this leap forward into clearly being the team's sort of superstar that they're building around, he gets more, you know, he becomes more of a leader in the locker room. Is he ready for that? He's 20 years old, but can he really do that? Certainly the additions, the other veteran additions that they've made, that's, you know, that's what I would say has really hurt them the most, is like, you know, swapping out a guy like Dwayne Dedman, who was beloved in the locker room, really funny guy, you know, had everybody rolling all the time, and a guy like Kent Bazemore, who had a rough year last year. You know, he came out and said, I think in the Oregonian to Jason Quick earlier in the season, that he sort of had a rough year from a sort of mental, emotional perspective last year. But even still, you know, he's a professional. He's going to get, you know, he's going to go out there and do his job. He's going to be a positive force in the locker room, even if he's going through some stuff. Guys like Chandler Parsons and Evan Turner haven't been that at all. You know, the swing that Schlenk took on acquiring those guys and being like, these are the veterans that are going to replace the outgoing veterans, that just hasn't worked. You know, Turner's been, you know, in and out of the lineup and is really unhappy with his minutes. Chandler Parsons has, you know, came back and then was, you know, was not able to play and is not necessarily known as a, you know, positive locker room guy anyway. And then, you know, on top of that, is unhappy with his playing time, is unhappy with where, you know, where he is in his career. So I think that's the biggest shift, is, you know, Vince is still their biggest leader, I think, certainly from a veteran perspective. But the difference between last year and this year has to do with those other veterans and then Trey sort of taking that step forward and sort of assuming that leadership position. But that's difficult for a guy who's so young, who, you know, maybe doesn't have the command of the locker room as much as some other guys do.
Jeff, this I spoke on a little bit last week. I said this, looking at the Hawks roster, just on GP, without me even doing any in-depth thinking, I see six guys who won't be there next year, just off GP. Chandler, Evan, Crabb, DeAndre Bembry, most likely Damian Jones, and Vince Carter, and Lin's a toss-up to me. That's if I can see six guys I've been on the roster already, I know they feel the same way. Could that affect some of what we read about chemistry issues in locker room or people having their own agendas? Because there's six guys, Vince does not really count, with five guys who want to have a career still, who probably won't be there next year, and they all know it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of this, is that Evan Turner, you know, what incentive does Evan Turner have to buy in? What incentive does Chandler Parsons have to buy in? You know, those guys, they're not going to be here next year. They know that they're not going to be in Atlanta going forward. So they can sort of check out a little bit, and that's, you know, how you end up with something like this. Or they can have, you know, a little bit more of a selfish mentality where they want their minutes and they want to play, you know, in a way that accentuates their strengths, and they want to get out there and try to earn their next contract. Whereas the Hawks as an organization are moving toward those young guys. And so when Evan Turner gets 10 minutes a game or isn't playing at all, he's going to be unhappy with that. And I understand that from his perspective, and I understand that from the Hawks' perspective. So I would imagine that come, you know, mid-February after the trade deadline, that Parsons and Turner, you know, probably both, but at least one, will just not be on the team. They'll work a buyout and get the one or both of those guys out of there.
Jeff, is Lloyd Pierce in trouble in your mind? Based on what we've been hearing, there's all these rumblings coming out since that game against Brooklyn about what trades are breaking, all these different George Mashaum, Sharania, Chris Haynes, and the, you know, the Def Pen Hoop saying stuff. So is he in trouble by any chance? Do you hear anything like that?
I mean, I don't think so. I think that the not the ownership group, but certainly management has, you know, they handpicked Pierce to be their guy to guide them through the rebuild. They know that this is what happens when you have a rebuild. Things are going to be difficult in those first couple of years. They've struck gold with Trae Young. They've struck gold with Kevin Huerter and John Collins based on where those guys were drafted. you know, Hunter and Reddish are still coming along. I mean, I wasn't a fan of those picks when they made them. So it's, you know, they're still coming along. Hunter is, you know, got a lot of pressure on him as the number four pick, but he's been playing, you know, better as of late. Reddish as well has sort of come into his own a little bit as sort of a more defensive prospect going forward. But these, like, those are the guys that they're building around, and those are the guys who are going to be there next year and going forward. So when we hear things about, you know, Turner and Parsons, and, you know, if we heard something about Alan Crabb being unhappy with his, with their roles in the team, that doesn't totally matter. Like, it matters for this year, but it doesn't matter really going forward. If Pierce could just sort of weather that storm, get those guys out of here, and bring in some veterans who actually want to be in Atlanta, that's that I think that ship will right itself. And when that shift happens, that's going to impact how they play on the court. That's going to make Trae Young better, because he's going to be surrounded with veterans who want to be there, who are buying into the system, who buy into being led by a guy like Trae, who will, it'll impact the team on the floor to the point where they're going to have, you know, 10, 12 more wins next year than they do this year, just because they're going to be surrounded by guys who want to be there. And so, you know, I think the Pierce stuff, somebody's got to be in trouble when things are going as badly as they are, even if the internal expectations and the external expectations should have been relatively low. I mean, we've heard from Schlenk directly that he had, you know, he pegged the team for 30 or 31 wins. If John Collins didn't get suspended, they'd probably be on track for that, you know. And so they're probably down in the 26 to 27 range, because they lost out on a few wins when he was unavailable. But this is where this team was supposed to go anyway. The roster was not particularly well balanced or well built. They knew that there were going to be issues, and these are the issues we're seeing. I mean, they've been exacerbated by the fact that Collins has been out and that Herter has been sort of in and out of the lineup throughout the season. But the veterans not fitting with the young guys, that was a known quantity coming into the year. This is sort of as bad as it could be, but I don't think that impacts Pierce's long-term job security, at least not in my mind.
Hey, I hear that, Jeff. He's a guy. I love talking to LP. Great dude. Love, he always gives you a real answer. So he's better than what we have in Coach Bud. That's all I can say about that.
he certainly is almost the exact opposite of Bud, in the way that Bud just never talked and still doesn't in Milwaukee, and just sort of he'll say the minimum amount of words possible. And Pierce will talk for 3 or 4 minutes on every question. He's really great, and he's been great for the media in Atlanta.
Yes, indeed. Well, Jeff, thank you for coming on the show tonight. I appreciate your brother. I love your work. I love your site, man. Bird Rights is a great site, man. Great job what you do over there, man.
All right, appreciate you.
All right, it's Jeff Siegel. He's on the Boss Man Show, people. Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Going to talk to my man Jeremy Ballard out down in Miami, Florida International University, the Panthers out of Commerce, USA. Coach, what's good down in the MIA, man?
Not too much, JR. Things are good down here. Can't complain about this 80-degree weather and sunshine. So, and the team's playing pretty good. So got a lot of good things going on right now.
Coach, you're in the middle of a year or two leading the Panthers. What do you say has been your greatest accomplishment in your mind since you got this job in 2018?
Yeah, my greatest accomplishment was number one, you know, being fortunate enough to even get hired here. But, you know, getting a job as late as I did, it was the week – I literally got hired the week that our guys were going home for the summer, the year before last. So, you know, to be able to get the job that late and to be able to coach these guys and get them to believe and be in what our staff was doing and to get them to understand all the things that go into winning when we were in a, you know, really in a program that hasn't had any success. I'm just proud to see their growth and proud to see them continue growing every single day.
Last year, you won 20 games last year as a first-year head coach. It had to make you feel real good for a time, set that culture, knowing coming in as a first-year guy and getting 20 wins in year one.
Yeah, it did. You know, we came in and we were really preaching something that was completely foreign to the guys. So, you know, we were asking them to play a style of play that was really unique, that, you know, required a lot of effort. It really required them to have some trust in us and belief in what we were doing. And you know, they just hadn't had any, you know, no experience in winning. So to see the guys buy into what we were doing, and to be able to get some success for all the hard work they put in, it really meant a lot to me to see our young man, the four seniors we had last year, go out on a winning note and also, you know, really lay down the foundation for hopefully more winning to come. Well, it was a great thing to be a part of.
And what's good about you, Coach, what I liked about your team last year is this. You embraced those guys as your guys. You wasn't on that whole, well, I didn't recruit you, you're not really my guys. You embraced those young men as your guys. They played hard for you, and I could tell that in what you all did last year.
No, I appreciate you saying that, JR. And what you're saying is true, because I said the exact opposite. I said, guys, y'all didn't choose me. You know, when I went to that first team meeting, there wasn't a player in there that chose me to be their head coach. They had all signed up to come to FIU to play for someone else. But I told them, I chose all of you. And I couldn't be more proud, not having coached one of them for one day, to be in that room and to say, I'm their head coach. And I promised them, I said, y'all are going to be our guys. And we're going to work and we're going to do things that they've never done before at FIU. And those guys believed in it. And they gave myself and my staff a chance. And we were able to experience some success last year. Second most wins in school history. First postseason win in school history. Best Conference USA record in school history. So, you know, they were able to reap some benefits of the hard work they put in. And like I said, hopefully laying the foundation for even more future success.
And losing the seniors you lost, Coach, this had to be a big offseason for you, Coach, for his development and developing the guys. And I know at the mid-major level, player development is really very key to success and sustainability as well. So how did you guys attack the player development piece of the equation this offseason, summertime, fall, work, as you get ready for this year, now you're in January, how did you all attack that development piece of it?
Yeah, well, you're right. We lost some great seniors, in particular, El Haji Dang and Michael Douglas. Two guys that actually graduated early and were great team guys. And then our point guard and Brian Beard, who was by all accounts, one of the best players in FIU history. So we had some big shoes to fill, but we were fortunate enough that we had a lot of guys that are returning that got a lot of experience last year. And then we were able to hit the recruiting trail and bring in guys that were really a fit to our system. So, you know, with the mix of all the new guys that were fit to what we're doing coming in with our returning players and the way that my staff really attacked the player development side of things with our team. It's allowed us to have, you know, to get off to another good start this year.
And, Coach, speak to how important having a great strength coach is, because our guys don't understand. Having a good strength coach, because you got guys that have to play from November through March. That's over 5 months of having to play 30 tough games and play at a high level. How important that strength coach is to getting guys eating healthy and keeping their bodies there and preventing the injuries as well?
It's vital to any program, but the way that we play, it's especially important. And we have a guy, Jack Sprague, who just came in this year, and he has been unbelievable. He's played immediate dividends with our program and with our players. And, you know, the way that we play, the strength and the conditioning and the recovery is paramount to everything that we do. Last year, we played at the fastest tempo in the country. We pressed on every single possession defensively. So we had a relentless attack on both ends of the floor, and you're not able to do that in game time if you don't put in those hard yards in the weight room and conditioning and in practice. And for us to be as effective as we can be, we must have an elite strength coach, and we're fortunate to have one here.
And, Coach, I was telling my guys here off the air, you remind me of the 40 Minutes of Hell. I grew up watching Don Richardson and those guys back when I was younger, watching Devils teams.
Right.
Yeah, so you kind of remind me of how you guys play.
No, well, man, you couldn't pay any bigger compliment than saying that. I was actually fortunate enough when I was in middle school at the time, my granddaddy got us tickets to the Final Four in 1994 in Charlotte, and it's when Arkansas and the 40 Minutes of Hell won a national championship. So I've always – you know, growing up admiring that style of play. You know, I for a coach and one of my greatest mentors, Shaka Smart, who who implemented that same kind of style when we were at VCU. And you know, that's certainly the mentality we're trying to have here. I mean, we're aggressive and trying to have a relentless attack on offense and for defense for 40 minutes. And you know, our guys get a lot of freedom, but they work extremely hard. We really try to make everyone play to our style and try to get our style of play going. And they really bought into it, and it's given us an identity.
And coach, you have an appeal for your program because you're in Miami, in a great part of Miami, so you get a great education too. But also the style of play you guys have, so I'm pretty sure you're getting some hits on a national scale too because of the way you guys play and what the success you had last year and the relationships you've built over the years with being in the business for so long.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing we have to get past is the name recognition, the lack of name recognition outside of Miami and outside of Florida. But once we can get them to give FIU a chance and we're able to educate them on the wonderful school we have, all the awesome programs, the awesome administration and everything we have on the school side of things, you know, the beautiful locale being in Miami, being in a great conference in Conference USA, playing in an exciting style of play. You know, we feel that we really have a lot of great things to sell to recruits, and we've been able to sign some really good young men who have helped us be successful.
Now, coach, getting 9 wins in 9-con has to make you feel really, really good, knowing the Conference USA is going to be very, very tough because from top to bottom, the league is tough from top to bottom. No easy outs in Conference USA at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, Conference USA is a beast. You know, it was really hard last year, and this year I think it's even going to be more brutal. And, you know, I told my team this the other day, you know, it came out, you know, our record right now is the best record in school history for the first 15 games. But I told my team, hey, they don't give trophies out after 15 games. You know, they don't have an award ceremony after 15 games. So, you know, whatever modest success we've had thus far, we got to work that much harder to continue and have even more success for the rest of the season. And our guys are really buying into it. You know, they're still getting after it in practice. They're still putting extra time in the weight room and working on their game and studying what we do and studying our opponents. And hopefully we'll be able to continue the success, but it's going to be hard, man. You know, there's no easy wins in Conference USA. And shoot, when you're looking around and you can't find an easy win, a lot of times you're the easy win. So, you know, we're just trying to make sure that we're ready and that we stay the hunter and every game that we come into.
Yes, indeed. And, coach, like you said, man, like, man, this is hard, man. No easy outs, like you said. You can't reach your own press clippers. You got to still stay to the grind and work hard because, like you said, you might be hot right now, but that conference grind can wear on you. You got to go through to March dealing with tough teams every night and not knowing 4 games you got coming up in March.
No, absolutely. And we say all the time that, you know, I got this from Mike Rhodes, Coach Mike Rhodes, who I worked for at VCU. He would say this: it takes what it takes. It takes what it takes to be great. There's no shortcut to it. You can't shortchange the effort you got to put in. You can't shortchange the commitment. You can't shortchange the consistency. All of those things have to be there if you're going to be great. And we don't want anyone a part of our program that's not coming here to be great in every facet. So, you know, that's a challenge. We're trying to hold our guys accountable to that. And we're trying to hold them accountable to a standard that they haven't been able to reach here yet at FIU. And so we're trying to reach goals that haven't been met yet, but we're fighting to meet them every single day. And our players have bought into my coaching staff and I have that, you know, with all due respect, and I've worked on some amazing assistant coaching staffs. It's the best coaching staff in the country, those assistants, and they make up for my lack thereof every day. And there's a lot of lack of with me, so they got a lot of making up to do.
Now, you do a good job, Coach. Don't sell yourself short, man. You do a good job, man. Doing a great job
down there.
Well, you got a tough matchup. Grant McCaslin, he was successful at Arkansas State, moved on to North Texas, was successful there his first year there, winning the CIT there. So you got a tough matchup with him. What do you say from Coach McCaslin's team and North Texas, who always is tough and always going to give you something different each time you see him play?
Yeah, well, we're actually really familiar, unfortunately, with North Texas. We played each other 3 times last year. We actually played each other on the last game of the regular season, and then we played them in the first round of the conference tournament. And they ended our conference tournament season last year. So, You know, we won two games. They won one last year. We were fortunate in those two. But Coach McClasen is a great coach. I mean, they are elite right now on both sides of the ball in terms of their offensive and defensive efficiency. I mean, they really guard you. They give you nothing easy. They're aggressive on defense, and their spacing and efficiency on offense has really been at an elite level this year. So they're playing really good basketball right now. You know, they are far better than what their record shows. So, I mean, it's going to be a dogfight on Thursday, and our players know it, our coaches know it, and we're just trying to do everything we can to prepare to be successful.
And, Coach, you got a couple guys on your roster right here in the home of Atlanta. Our first guy I want to talk to you about is Isaiah Bates from Conyers, Georgia. What's he bringing to the team there for you, Coach?
Isaiah Banks is a warrior. You know, he is Atlanta through and through. You know, he is a yes sir, no sir, mannerable dude. And then when he gets on the court, man, he's a killer. And he is a joy to coach. He's one of those rare young men that, you know, everyone likes and everyone respects. So that's a powerful position to hold on any team or any, you know, anything that you're a part of in life. And he's worked hard to earn that. And like I said, he's a winner, and he is a huge part of what we've been able to turn around here at FIU. So I couldn't be prouder to be his coach.
You got down the road from me, Eric Lovett, a guard for a guy in Jonesboro, Todd Boulevard, over there where I should live at, over there, Jonesboro, Georgia. So what does he bring to the team for you, Coach? Still there, Coach?
I do on both sides of the ball. And he has worked his tail off. He's made some of the biggest plays of the year for us. We played UNH. He hit a big-time three to tie the game that allowed us to eventually be able to go ahead and win it. And then our most recent game against UTSA, he makes a deflection and steal and jump shot off the glass at the buzzer to force overtime against UTSA that allowed us to win. So he is a big-time shooter, a big-time athlete. He's had a number of dunks go viral already, you know, from the practice gym and stuff like that. And the other thing that I love about him is he is tough as nails, and he brings it every single day. So we're really proud and happy to have him in our program, really proud of his growth, and he's proven to be a winner every step of the way.
And, Coach, how important, being from Atlanta, that you recruit the Atlanta area, a lot of quality talent here, and a lot of coaches come and try to find talent. So what does it mean to you better having the inside track because you're from the city and be able to get guys from the city to come back and play for you down there?
Right. Well it's huge for me. I mean, I'm Atlanta through and through. I was born and raised in East Atlanta. My mom and daddy still live in East Atlanta in the same house we grew up in. So, you know, for me to be able to go back home and recruit players that grew up with the same kind of mentality that I grew up with and grew up playing, it's really a great fit for what we try to do. Now, when you're at a university that's as big as FIU and you know, covers so many spectrums, you know, we're able to go anywhere to find the best players to fit our program. But we're certainly going to recruit the Florida area hard, and we're always going to have our eye on Atlanta. And shoot, I'm always happy to come back home to Atlanta to do some recruiting.
And, Coach, how's it cool to have Coach Butch Davis right there in the program there with you, be able to talk to him? You can learn from Coach Davis, who's been a legendary coach at the University of Miami, you know, different North Carolina, different places. So what's it like to have that guy right there in the office, go talk to him whenever you feel like it?
Well, JR, you know, you spoke a living legend with an apartment, a guy that's seen everything across the board, college, pro, who's been a champion at every level. And for him to have done that and all the things he's accomplished, all of the Hall of Famers and first-round draft picks that he's coached, but to see the pride that he takes in FIU and how he supports everyone at FIU, he supports the other sports, he's been incredibly supportive of me. I mean, we couldn't be luckier to have Coach Davis, and we're huge fans. You know, we're at all the football games. Our players go to all the football games. You know, we could have been happier to see the success they've had here. You know, beating the U this year, going to three straight bowl games. I mean, Coach Davis is really helping to bring even more recognition, you know, to our university, and we could be prouder to have him here as our football coach.
Yeah, we had him on in November, and I'll tell you, it was like one of the great 20-minute conversations I had with Coach Davis, because I grew up watching you on TV, have you on my show, like, so surreal. You know, I'm 32 years old, so this is surreal. See a guy I grew up watching on TV, having him on my show, like, man, this is great. So he was like, man, JR, he making me feel old. I said, I'm sorry, Coach.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but he's a big basketball guy, and he grew up in Fayetteville, so he's a big Coach Richardson fan. He's a big 40 Minutes of Hell fan, and he averaged like 39 points a game in high school. So he's a big basketball guy. He's a big supporter of FIU basketball, but he's a big supporter of FIU and FIU athletics in general. And I mean, he's a South Florida legend down here. And you know, look no further than, you know, you pop in one of those 30 for 30s on the U. I ended up watching one on the plane the other day, and I'm like, well, dang. It was the U part two. I'm like, Coach Davis is the star of this one, and you know, to see how he's, you know, he revitalized that program, how he's revitalized the program here at FIU. Hey, we're lucky to have him.
Hey, Coach Ballard, good having the show, man. Like I said, look forward to seeing when you're in town visiting, man. Of course, hey, Coach, I go over East Atlanta all the time. Gresham Road, going to my girl house, Ellenwood. So I'll cut through all the time East Atlanta to get to my girl house. So the right way you grew up at over there where your parents are, man, for sure.
Hey, there you go, man. Hey, the East Side is the best side. So I'm glad you get to venture over there. And I really appreciate you having me on, man. And really respect everything you're doing there in the city, locally, and also nationwide. And let's get them Dirty Birds and Hawks going next year.
Yes, indeed. Slender for life, man. Boulder Crest, baby.
There you go.
All right.
Linwood.
Yes, indeed. Kettler Road.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, how good, man.
Appreciate you.
Talk to you real soon, buddy.
Okay, appreciate you.
All right.
For all your photo, video, and voiceover needs, check out the fine folks at Blu-ray Productions. They will take good care of you. If you don't believe me, you can see for yourself. Check out their work at blueberryproductions.tv, the Facebook page, Blueberry Productions, also a Vimeo page, a YouTube page, and it's Blueberry, BLUBERRY, prod on Twitter. Check them out today. Blueberry Productions, great people, great work, great service.
Hey there, your yard took a real beating this summer. Luckily, Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard has your back. Just feed your grass with Scott's again this fall when the air is cool and the soil is warm. It's the perfect time to give your lawn a boost. If you do, Winter Guard will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help weak, thin grass recover and support root growth, giving you a greener, more resilient lawn both now and next spring. Guaranteed. Grab a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard today. You'll be back to barbecuing in no time. This is a Scott's Yard.
Hey parents, we all try to be extra careful with our children in the car, but then we get an important call or text. Remember, our children are watching. Make every drive a good example. Be in the zone. Turn off your phone. Visit childrenshospital.vanderbilt.org/BITZ to learn more about our Teen Driver Safety Program. Brought to you by Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, the Ford Motor Company Fund, and the Allstate Foundation.
Hello, my name is Travis Williams, President and CEO of Academics and Athletic Consulting, focusing on educating and empowering tomorrow's collegiate athletic leaders. My passion is for the education and genuine concern and care for today's student athlete. It's the centerpiece of my life's work. A college education, both in and out of the classroom, is a truly rewarding benefit. For more information on AAC, you can go to www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Once again, www.academicsandathleticsconsulting.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook at Academics and Athletic Consulting, or Twitter at Coach T Will 24, or Instagram Travis L Williams 24. Or you can call me at 404-542-6079. Once again, AAC is very proud to partner with J.R. McHenry of the Bossman Radio Show, covering sports and entertainment across the country. Please tune in weekly for informative, entertaining, and expert analysis on today's sports and entertainment topics. Thank you.